views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to your vibrant, powerful self so that you can feel healthy, happy, and supported, whether you're at work, at home, or at play. Now, my guest today is a repeat customer because I had her on just last week, and we were talking about hormones, and we got so into the topic that we didn't really have time to get into the solutions, things that are going to help you. And so I asked her if she would come right back on and do another show on her four steps to happy hormones, and she agreed. So this is Nikki Williams, is my guest. She has written a wonderful book called It's Not You, It's Your Hormones. I highly recommend you check that out. You can find it on Amazon. And you can hear Nikki's more official story on last week's show. So feel free to go there and check that out. What I will tell you is that Nikki struggled with hormones like a lot of us do, but had no idea that that's what was going on for her. And she figured out, with her dad's help, who happens to be a doctor, she figured out that she could turn things around using diet, lifestyle, and natural supplements. And so she truly is a specialist in hormones and understanding hormones. She's the founder of Happy Hormones for Life, which you can find out more about her there, happyhormonesforlife.com. And she helps a lot of women in their 40s and 50s feel better than they did in their 30s. So Nikki, welcome back to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Hi Debbie, thank you.
We had such a great conversation last week, and we talked about the different hormones that can be a problem and the different stages that we go through as women, that we didn't even have time to get into the four steps to happy hormones. So if I'm not sure if we need to review the Feisty Four, if that's relevant to what we're going to talk about today, or if you just want to go into the four steps to the happy hormones, but I'm with you, whichever way you want to go.
Oh, let me just have, let's do a quick reminder of the Feisty Four, as I call them, these four hormones that tend to dictate how we look, feel, think, and behave after 40, and in that run up to and through menopause. And they are cortisol, your stress hormone, thyroid, your metabolism regulator, insulin, your blood sugar regulator, but I call it your fat storing hormone, and estrogen, which is your main sex hormone. And these all can play a part in these symptoms during perimenopause, and they all actually very much dependent on each other. So when one's slightly out, it tends to push the others out as well, which is why we get symptoms that tend to cross over. So things like brain fog could be a mixture of all four of them, or it could be just one. So it's very, they're very interconnected, and they do cross over. So it's quite difficult sometimes to pinpoint which of these hormones is out of balance. So we actually do a lot of hormone testing, which really makes that a lot easier. But when you're looking at balancing hormones in general, we always use natural solutions first and foremost. So diet, lifestyle, supplements, they're the things we make sure these foundations are really in place first before then, a woman might think about, hormone replacement or something else. But if the foundations are in place, most women don't necessarily need it, or they'll go down a route that's a bit more natural. So we always try and get these things in place. And so I've put them into a four-step, I call them a happy hormone code.
So just before we get into your code, yeah, I just want to set the stage here a little bit. I want people to understand that the things that you're about to talk about are healthy things for all of us to do all of the time, yeah, right? So even if you're not conscious that you're struggling with hormones right now, or if you're thinking, boy, this would be a lot easier if my hubby also followed this kind of eating plan or this kind of lifestyle, or when it comes to the kids, you can apply a lot of it to the kids. So this stuff you're talking about isn't like a prescription that is just for you because your hormones are out of whack.
Oh, no, not at all. It is a hormone balancing plan, but it's also a sort of a bit of a gentle detox. It's also, you know, a very healthy way to live. And it's certainly not a one-off either. You know, if you adopt these principles for good, you're in a really good place then to feel better, but also to prevent, you know, to lower your risk of getting, you know, future conditions or more serious conditions. Definitely.
Right. And we all have hormones, your kids, your partner, everybody. So we all want to be balanced. Okay. So let's jump in. What is the four steps?
So step one is eat. Now, I'm a nutritionist by trade, so this is my passion. Food is my passion, and I'll always start there. And of course, it's eating the right foods for your hormones. Now, what tends to happen with women is we, in the past, or, you know, some women now, they're kind of ruled by sort of outdated models of how we should eat, like the calorie model, for instance, you know, low calorie diets, low fat diets, deprivation style diets. And these all don't tend to work as we get over 40. They may work when you're younger. And they may work initially when you start to try them. But what generally happens is they stress the body out. So the body thinks there's some kind of famine, or you're not giving it the right nutrients, it's malnourished. So it goes into fight or flight mode, gets stressed, it goes into survival mode. And what happens when it goes into survival mode is it shuts down all your hormones. You get that belly fat around the middle. Your brain goes to sludge. You feel awful. And you're pretty miserable, to be honest, because you're not eating, right? So nobody wants to be deprived. So those kind of things go out the window. What we talk about to really look, you have to look after your hormones. You have to kind of change your mindset a bit from deprivation to nourishment. So we're talking about really nourishing our bodies, giving the hormones exactly what they need to actually work for us and not against us, right? Because hormones need a lot of nutrients to get produced, to get stored, to get transported, and to get eliminated. So we want to give them everything they need. And what they generally need is good quality, healthy fats, which we've often been deprived of. So things like, you know, olive oil, coconut oil, avocado, oily fish, nuts and seeds, all those lovely foods that give your hormones the building blocks they need to be made. Then they want good quality protein, so nice organic chicken and good quality meat and fish and dairy. If you don't have an intolerance to dairy, it's fine too. So protein, fats, and then you want the carbs that are not going to spike your blood sugar, because when your blood sugar gets spiked, your hormones go out the window. They don't like that at all. So we want to keep our blood sugar nice and balanced. And to do that, we just need slow-releasing carbs. So if you've heard of the glycemic load, that's the kind of thing we're looking at, you know, staying away from refined carbohydrates. We're looking at lots and lots of vegetables, brown or wild rice, you know, sweet potatoes, quinoa, buckwheat, those kind of grains. Okay, so those are nice blood sugar balancing carbohydrates, because we do need carbs. Mm-hmm. And so if we base our plates, our meals on those things, we'll be supporting our hormones and keeping our blood sugar nice and stable. So that will help with our energy levels, our mood, our weight, and generally, you know, feeling well again. Does that all make sense?
It does. It makes perfect sense. And I just really want to encourage people, if this is new to you in some ways, that Nikki's book goes into it. So you can just get the book. It'll explain some of it.
There's food lists and there's recipes and all that stuff in there too.
Yeah. And it's just so important, because I think for a lot of us, we think, oh, good, I can have fat, so I'll buy now all the full fat stuff, which is true. That is better for you. But at the same time, not all fat is created equal. So, the fat you're going to get from an avocado is going to be different than, say, cooking with canola oil.
So more info on that in the book. Now, the second step is rest. Now, this is probably actually more important even than the food, but I'm not going to put food down to number two. But rest is two, because unless we manage our stress and unless we sleep well, these are the two cornerstones of rest. we're going to be in fight or flight mode still. And when we're in fight or flight mode, as I've said, you know, your hormones pretty much shut down. Cortisol is the alpha male of all your hormones. So when it's dominant, cortisol is your main stress hormone. And when that's dominant, nothing else is going to work properly. So, and not only that, cortisol has a big impact on other areas of your life, of your body, your brain, your digestive system, your immune system. So all of your whole body really is not going to function properly if you're stressed and you're not sleeping well. Okay. So those two things are a real cornerstone of this step two. And that is about taking some time for yourself every day. You know, we're all bombarded, aren't we? We all have a lot of responsibility. We have technology, we are available all the time. We have a lot of stresses being thrown at us. And that's, you know, not necessarily going to change. But if you can either, you know, somehow take away one of two of those stresses in some way, that would be great. But if you even can't do that, just taking 10 to 20 minutes to yourself every single day, sitting quietly, switching off the brain, switching everything off and just being in the moment. And, you know, you don't have to sit there cross-legged meditating. You could be in a nice warm bath with some candles, or, you know, just sitting reading a book for a few minutes, because that is, you know, all those sorts of real, or something just you really love doing. So that could be cooking or gardening or going for a walk in nature, whatever it is that works for you.
Right. But even sometimes, I just want to interject with the idea that even sometimes going outside for your lunchtime and sitting on a bench right there on the busy street, but you know, the sun is shining on you, and just turning your mind off, breathing in and just feeling the sun on you for just that 1 minute or two
minutes. Turning your phone off.
Leave your phone in the office.
Yeah.
Don't even take it.
It makes a huge difference, even if it's just for 20 minutes. It really does. You're not constantly checking it. Every time you check that phone, you're getting some kind of, you know, cortisol or a dopamine hit or whatever it is. That gives you, and that's going to disrupt your hormones. So give yourself a little break from that. Take that little time for yourself every single day. But, and the key thing is to do it daily, because you're stressed daily. So, you know, you have to switch off that response daily. Because in the old days when we used to get attacked by lions, you know, the stress would then go away. The lion would either kill you or you'd escape. And if you escaped, you'd go and sit in your cave and you'd switch off for a good few hours until the next crisis. But we don't get that switch off time. So you have to give it to yourself. And it's a real gift to give it to yourself. And you know, a lot of women, we don't feel like, you know, giving that time to ourselves. We've got, you know, we run around after everyone else, and self-care comes quite far down the to-do list. But I'm going to try and get people to put it right at the top, because if you're not looking after yourself, you're going to be no good to anyone else anyway.
Well, you know how you had to put food first because you're a nutritionist?
Yeah.
Well, I'm all about helping people reconnect with their natural guidance, and that self-care is right there at the top.
So. I love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're both as important as each other. And really, you know, if you can get those two sorted, you're well on your way. You really are. The next two are very important, but you know, maybe not as much as the first two. But the step three is cleanse. So this is about the environment you're in, and this is about the toxins that we're exposed to on a daily basis. And the reason I talk about toxins in relation to hormones is that they can alter your hormones. There's a whole group of them called endocrine disrupting chemicals, EDCs. Now, if you Google EDCs or you Google the whole thing, you'll get a ton of research on how a certain number of chemicals are affecting our hormones and our health. And there are three big ones here. The first one is BPA. You've all heard of BPA in plastics, you know, in water bottles, in food containers, in till receipts, in all sorts of can linings. It turns up in a lot of stuff. And we're constantly exposed to this stuff. And it's a very big hormone disruptor. Okay, so we've got it in our bloodstream. Babies are born with it. It's pretty much endemic, but there's an awful lot we can do to minimize our exposure to it. So we want to be switching to glass containers or stainless steel water bottles, or you know, avoiding tin cans, or going for the ones that are not lined with BPA, things like that. So that's one of them. The second one is pesticides. So we really need to be avoiding pesticides wherever possible and eating organic. And then Thirdly, I'm talking about a group of chemicals called phthalates, and these are in most synthetic fragrances. And this is what one of the most unpopular things I ever talk about, because women don't want to hear that our favorite products are altering our hormones. But we're talking about, you know, perfumes. We're talking about beauty products, that anything that has fragrance in the label. We're talking about scented candles. We're talking about air fresheners, all the things that we have around our homes, our cleaning and laundry products. Anything that smells nice, basically, is probably got these chemicals in them, and they're called phthalates. They're quite damaging to hormones, and you know, we often end up inhaling them or putting them on our skin, which is the quickest way into the bloodstream. So we want to be aware of it. You know, awareness is key, because, you know, we can't ditch everything all at once, but when we're aware of it, we can then see if there's a more natural alternative. So things made with essential oils, for instance.
Yes.
And there's a lot of things now that are available that you didn't used to be. So it's a lot easier.
Absolutely. And more you will even go in and find a product that will say that there's no phthalates in it. And, you know, and the sodium lauryl sulfate and those kinds of things that will say none of that. And that's helpful. I mean, you still have to read the ingredient list, because unfortunately there can be other things that just haven't made the press yet, but that still aren't good for you. But
there's a fantastic app, actually. I should tell you about that. It's called Think Dirty.
Oh, cute.
If you put the brand of your favorite product in there, it'll give you a score out of 10 of how toxic it is. So it's a really interesting one, because I put a couple of kind of natural organic brands that I thought were really good, and they were coming up 8, 9 out of 10 as toxic.
Oh my gosh.
It's a really good one to sort out the real organic people, and not the ones that just say they are, you know.
Well, and that's, I mean, nobody wants to go to a special store to get their product or to order it online or whatever, and then, you know, to pay extra because it's organic and all this, and then later find out that it is actually, you know, making them sick because there's bad things in it. That's frustrating when that happens. So it's worth it to check it out. Or like me, I make a lot of my own, but we can talk about that more later if we have the time to. I don't want to get in the way.
I've only got one more step, and that is step 4, and that is move. And this is all about, you know, not actually, you know, I see a lot of women who are going to the gym every day. They're running. They're doing a lot of over-exercise, actually. And it's stressing the body out, because exercise produces cortisol, and you've got to be careful with it, because if you've got any kind of stress, if you've got a stressful job and then you run out and do a spin class, or, you know, if that energizes you, then that's great. But if you come home and you're just literally depleted and dying, and you're going to that class just because you think you have to, then, you know, that's not a healthy way to exercise. And that's actually just putting more pressure on the body. So I do tend to get people to be a bit more kind to themselves, actually, and do exercise that they enjoy. And do more hormone-friendly exercise. So my favorite exercise in the world is yoga.
Yes.
And not for everyone, but I do urge everyone to give it a try, because if you find a class that you love, you will be addicted forever, honestly. It's the most amazing thing for hormones. It's stress-reducing, it's mood-boosting, it's strength and flexibility all at once. I think it's just a great one for balancing your hormones. But there's lots of other exercises too. Walking is fantastic too. You don't have to slog it out at the gym all the time. If that's your thing and it makes you happy, then go for it. But it's not a prerequisite to being balanced and keeping fit, actually.
Right. And, you know, I think that it's so important to recognize, you know, when we talked about the fact that nourishment was the top of the list, and that your self-care, the resting, that was second. And that, I think, is a key piece to what's going on here, because I know people that go to yoga and they push themselves to get into the pose the right way that they're supposed to. And they're constantly thinking, am I doing this right? How come this doesn't feel right to me? Or they're thinking about that report that they have to get done, or, you know, when I get home, I'm going to do this, this, this. And that's the key to this. That's one of the reasons yoga is so balancing, is because when you're really truly doing yoga, you're tuning into your body, you're tuning into your breath, and you're letting everything else go for that bit of time. you're letting it go. And that's where that rest, that meditating or slowing down or taking that minute to clear your mind, that's where it comes in.
Yeah. So, and sometimes, you know, I see, especially when I was in America last year, I went to a couple of classes. We wouldn't ever do it here because we're not very rebellious here. We tend to follow people. in the States, in California, there was a class I went to and I was busy following the teacher and everything. And there was one lady who sat next to me in child's pose for the whole hour. And that wow. I was looking at the teacher going, when's she going to notice this one is not doing anything, you know?
Yeah, when are you going to straighten her out?
Looking at her and she goes, you know what, she goes, if you want to just come here and sit in child's pose for the whole hour, that's perfectly fine with me. That's what you need. That's what you need. And I thought, oh, gosh, she's right. You know, actually, it's not about what you do in that class. It's about taking that time for yourself. And that lady was mega stressed and exhausted. And all she wanted to do was take some time for herself and lie on the mat, you know.
Yes. Does kind of make you wonder why you would pay to go somewhere to do that. You could do that one at home, but
that's the thing. I bet she could do it at home.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. I was taking a bit of me time and that was her version of it, which is perfect for her.
Oh, nice. Okay. So yoga and walking.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing from you and not that, I mean, people that really love running could go out and still run, but you need to know that that is increasing your cortisol, right?
Sure. And it very much depends on what kind of lifestyle you have around that. So if you have a very stressful job and you're tired all the time and then you go out for a very long run, it might not be the best thing for you. It just might not be. Maybe you need to be, you know, looking at building up your energy reserves before you do that. But then some people I meet, you know, they have a stressful job and exercise is their stress relief, and they go out and that's their thing. And they would rather do that than, you know, come home and drink a bottle of wine, for instance, which is great.
Right.
It's about balance, isn't it? It's about, okay, well, are you using exercise instead of stress reduction, or are you doing this because of something else? So, you know, have that awareness, have that balance, and be aware that actually you only have so much energy. You only have so many energy reserves. So you need to spend it wisely and not deplete yourself too much. And whether that's depleting through going out every night or a very, very stressful job or traveling the world or whatever it is you're doing, then, you know, just being aware of that balance, I think, is really key, especially
yes.
in these years, because we are quite fragile. Our energy reserves are not what they used to be. You know, our hormones are out of balance a lot of the time. We're overstressed, so we don't tend to sleep very well either, which puts another thing on top of it. So we have to be very careful with what we choose to do with our time.
Yes. You know, that's a really interesting comment. I spent a good chunk of my life believing that I was fragile because I've always been that canary. You know, the canary in the coal mine, I'm the person that a smell in the room will right away give me a headache. Perfumes are a problem for me. Even like bug sprays or anything like that, like everything would affect me right away. Mm. And I spent a lot of time feeling that I was just fragile or that I never really went into victim mode, but I did feel as if I was quite breakable. And it's only been in these last few years that I've started to really tune into resiliency, which I talk about a lot on my show. So my listeners should be quite familiar with, and to realize that I'm actually a lot stronger than I think I am. However, the quality of life, as you were just saying, the quality of life is so affected by, you know, how much you're pushing yourself. If you're constantly pushing yourself to do, it takes its toll, and the quality of life is what drops away. So you're resilient enough to handle a lot of things. You're stronger than you think you are, I guess. And I really want people to hold tight to that message, but at the same time, recognize that you do make it harder for yourself.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, we really do, especially as women. And especially, you know, as we're getting older, we may have more responsibility at work. We might have relationship issues. We might have children a bit later. We've got elderly parents. All these things that start to happen as we get older. And our stress resilience does go down a little bit because of these imbalances and cortisol. So
yes,
we have to be careful.
one of the challenges that I faced, I would do this exercise that I absolutely loved. It was so fun, but I would be beat after it was an hour, about a 90-minute program that I did. And when I was done, I was done for the day. And it took me quite a while to figure out that my adrenals were tanked. Now, you could explain the connection between adrenals and cortisol and such, but they were tanked. And so I couldn't do it. My adrenals needed me to baby myself more than do that exercise.
Yeah.
So do you want to say anything about the cortisol, adrenal?
Yeah, because cortisol is our main stress hormone. So when we're stressed, it gets produced from the adrenals to keep us alive, basically, and keep us going and pushing us through.
Right.
And, you know, when we're stressed a lot, or we're doing a lot, or we're pushing ourselves a lot, or we've just got too much on, we can be running on adrenaline and cortisol for quite some time. What happens though when we're doing that? And that's possible. The body can cope with that for quite a few years, actually, for most people. Mm-hmm. But what can happen is that obviously, you know, it stresses the body so much that at some point you're going to be able to not produce as much cortisol, and it's going to come down, and your adrenals are going to get a little bit tired out. And unless you do something at that point, you can then, you're pretty much on the way to adrenal fatigue, which is kind of burnout or whatever you want to call it. And if that gets bad, you know, you're not going to be able to get out of bed, and that can turn into chronic fatigue syndrome and,
yes,
and nasty stuff like that. So this is very serious. And, you know, I try and get women to really focus on this before it gets anywhere near that stage, because it's so much of it. We hear it all the time, don't we? These city people that are burnt out, and then they, you know, have a few years off because they just can't function. And CFS is just a huge problem over here. I don't know about you guys, but chronic fatigue is a huge issue here, because medical world don't know how to deal with it, because they don't really recognize adrenal insufficiency or adrenal fatigue.
Right.
So, it's a massive problem, and it can then cause other problems too, because your body's a lot weaker. So then your immune system is weaker, and then you're at risk of all the other stuff as well. So
really, exactly. And you're getting sick all the time, and you're going, why am I sick all the time? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And meanwhile, it's all cascading off of it. And you know what, one of the things, and we're again out of time, but one of the things I just want to mention here is the fact that you can, like, your hormones want to be balanced, right? And so you can make such big changes so quickly or I should say small changes can result in such big results so quickly, because your hormones want to be balanced.
Yeah.
So I don't want people.
It can happen very, very quickly too, because hormones can balance very quickly. So you can, within a matter of a couple of weeks, you can be feeling a lot, lot better.
Yes. And even though you're exhausted and you're thinking, oh, I can't do it, I don't even want to pick up the book. And, you know, you can. So you can, first of all, I strongly suggest you pick up Nikki's book. It's called It's Not You, It's Your Hormones. You can get it on Amazon, and the link will be hooked up with the blog that's hooked up to this interview. You can also get a gift from her that is a free hormone balancing guide at happyhormonesforlife.com/free-guide. That too will be on the blog, as well as the Transformation Talk Radio page attached to this interview. Nikki, thank you so much for coming on not once but twice to share. This is just such important information. I want to get up and shout it from the rooftops, because I think it should be part of our mainstream conversations, mm-hmm. and not something that we just bring up when we're feeling sick, when we can't seem to get rid of that extra fat or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
So thank you again, Nikki. A big thank you to my listeners. I love you and appreciate you so much. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Nikki Williams, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of vibrant, powerful moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.